Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. Today I'll be sharing from the Gospel according to John, St. John, Apostle John, in what is listed as the 18th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas, then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me. Shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? So Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Beginning at the beginning of what is listed as chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Yes, here on the Mount of Olives, Jesus often took his apostles, his disciples there, to rest, to teach them, to spend the night. In these rich accommodations of this hillside, this mountainside, this garden, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. These officers, these are paramilitary officers of the Jews. And a band of men bent on the destruction of Jesus. But with orders to bring him so that he might be delivered to the governor and be tried and executed by the Romans with Roman blood. Instead of the bloodshed being upon the Jews, that it would be on the Romans, on the Romans' hands. Not only so the Jews could keep their Passover, so the Jewish leaders could keep the Passover. Oh, they were so religiously observant. Like David, who was so religiously observant about his followers not having been with woman, and yet, of course, David, and so they should be able to partake of the showbread. Meanwhile, David, of course, could commit adultery willy-nilly and so forth. But so religiously observant, importantly so. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Jesus went forth before his apostles, putting separation, if you will, between himself and his sheep. And he says to this mob, this armed mob, empowered by the Jewish hierarchy, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, Judas Iscariot, which betrayed him, stood with them. Very bold and brave of Judas to stand with this armed mob to take Jesus. As soon then as Jesus had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. They, including Judas Iscariot, they went backward and fell to the ground, driven backwards by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. But did they repent of their wicked mission? No. Though the Lord God Almighty drove them to their knees, it didn't occur to them to repent and turn from their murderous mission. Though the Lord God Almighty demonstrated his power, his force on behalf of his holy son, Jesus, this mob, including Judas Iscariot, remained bent on the destruction of Jesus. Then asked Jesus of them again, then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. They could have said nobody and left. But of course, that wouldn't have gone over very well with the Jewish chief rulers and high priest and father-in-law of the high priest, former high priest and soon to be high priest. They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, which Jesus spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The cup of death, the cup which he referred to when James and John, the sons of Zebedee, asked through their mother, asked to be granted to be at the right hand and left hand of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. And Jesus told them that that was for those for whom it was prepared. Jesus asked them, can ye be baptized with my baptism, with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they boldly, confidently stated that they could, and he asked them whether they could drink of the cup that he drank of, that he was to drink of, and they said, yes, they could. As to whether they understood what they were saying, that's another matter. I do not believe for a moment they did. But he was speaking of the cup of death, of crucifixion. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Here we do not have any reference to Jesus healing, restoring Malchus, touching where his ear had been, healing him, restoring him. But this is the thing about the Gospel of John, is that it is very, very distinct from the other Gospels. It includes all manner of things which are not included in the other Gospels, and yet it omits some as well to make room for what it does share, if you will. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? I'm going to lay down my life. It doesn't need to be compelled by some sword play here or something. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. It was pragmatic that they should have one man murdered so that all of the Jewish people shouldn't die. When in fact, this sin, this evil of the Jews, Jewish leadership, Jewish rulership, stirred up by the Jewish leadership and causing the multitudes to call out for Jesus to be crucified, this evil brought destruction, annihilation, years later to Jerusalem. But it did not save them. Jesus saved them. But unbeknownst to this unrighteous, ungodly, anti-godly high priest, the sufferings, the crucifixion, the martyrdom of Christ Jesus did provide atonement for those who should choose to believe on him. Those among the Jews and among the Gentiles who should choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was in fact the Christ, not a pretender. But the Lord of glory, the only begotten Son of God, the only name given under heaven by which we may be saved. For those who put their trust in him, who believe on him, who receive him as their Savior and Lord and God, he provided atonement and remission of sins. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. Fascinating passage, and John, the beloved, does not tell us who this other disciple is. Why? Why wouldn't he just say Judas Iscariot? He described the betrayal by Judas Iscariot in the verses before this. It infers that this is a disciple other than Judas Iscariot. Doesn't mean that it was, but it implies it. By his failure to state who it was, for his wording that another disciple. If it was Judas, why not just say Judas? That's not bad-mouthing Judas. That's not raising some questionable or false charges against Judas. It's not bringing aspersions against him. He has just described Judas's betrayal of Jesus. So why would he now cloak Judas's sin here? Doesn't make sense, but this is the only place that we find out that this made keeping the door this damsel is tipped off to finger Peter as being one of the disciples, is instructed to call him out for being a disciple by this other disciple who is known unto the high priest, Caiaphas. It does not say apostle here, it says disciple. But interestingly enough, John does not name this one. I'm sure any number of ministers and theologians have. But the Word of God does not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest, Caiaphas, then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing." Jesus never gave some communication or instructions to commit some sort of trespass against Jewry, against the Jewish leadership. Instead, we have in Sychar, he tells the woman, he witnesses to the woman that salvation is of the Jews. Now, Jesus did give elaboration, explanation of various parables to his apostles. But that's a different matter. That's not what's being demanded of him here. What's being demanded of him here is something, some information, some nuggets to flesh out these charges of treason against Jewry, that he's a malefactor. But Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple." Yes, he taught in the wilderness. Yes, he taught in these places about Judea and at the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, the River Jordan. He taught in Samaria. But Jesus taught for a period of 3.5 years in the synagogues and the temple as well, and throughout Jerusalem as well as throughout smaller cities, towns, villages, and wilderness areas. He did not conceal his teaching from the Jewish hierarchy. Wherever he went, he was dogged by the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the doctors of the law. Wherever he went, even when he was having a meal here or there, they were there. to question him, to accuse him, to try to find, to try to gather evidence that they could use to condemn him. His teaching was known to them. It was an open book. But here, the high priest is grasping at straws for something, anything. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And these who heard him, so very many of them, are right within the Jewish leadership. Chief rulers. But, behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. So he's questioned by Annas, who had been high priest and was very soon to be high priest again, and questioned by his son-in-law, who was high priest at that moment in time. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. And immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover, lest they should be ceremonially defiled. Not concerned about being defiled by attempting to have God the Son murdered, slaughtered, torturously murdered. No, not that. But they are zealous for the truth of God, aren't they? These outstanding leaders of the Jews, so much like many outstanding leaders and rulers throughout the ages of the Roman Catholic Church. And altogether too many leaders and rulers within Protestant denominations, but who claim to be zealous for the truth, but have no use for the truth, have no regard for the truth, who create their own commandments and doctrines and dogmas and theologies, their man-made science of religion that they use to supplant the truth of God. The truth of God, the written word of God, the truth of God, the living word of God, Jesus Christ. Not some paraphrase of the Bible. Jesus said of himself, I am the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. But Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. If he weren't guilty, guilty of rebellion and revolution, we wouldn't have brought him before you. You know, just have him executed. We have already determined he is guilty of these crimes, these heinous crimes. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Oh, yes, they are so observant of the Romans' laws. They are so concerned about this, right? So later on, not that much later, they have no compunction about slaughtering Stephen. Casting him out of the temple and slaughtering him. No problem doing that. No problem rounding up the Christians everywhere they can find them to have them murdered. Not just men, but women, young people. Oh, but here they're so law-abiding, according to the Romans' laws. They are intent on the Romans being blamed for the execution, the murderous, torturous execution of Jesus, which is what they are seeking, which is what they have plotted, planned, conspired, none dare call it conspiracy, for all of this time. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Far be it from us to execute anyone. We would never do that. No, that's your authority. No, we do not do such things. It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, not according to God's word, but according to the Romans' laws, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. That as Moses raised up the serpent on the staff, so the Son of Man should be raised up. That as all of those who looked upon the serpent, the brazen serpent, would live, that all of those who would look to Jesus as their Savior and Lord and God should live eternally. Not merely acknowledging Jesus. Oh, you know, no, I raised my hand in church or at an evangelical crusade, or there was an evangelistic crusade, so-called, again, the term crusade, but on TV. No, I'm saved. I went forward once at church, or I stood, or I raised my hand, or whatever it was that I did. or I bought a pew, or I'm an elder, a deacon in this church or that church, or an archbishop in the Anglican church. No. No. Not merely acknowledging Jesus. As you read through the Gospels, you find time and again that the demons, the legion of demons, the demons, the devils, acknowledge Jesus as being the Son of God. Over and over and over and over again. And it is not merely the possessed people, but it is the demons themselves acknowledging Jesus as God the Son. Once upon a time, I knew a man. Oh, I say I knew him. I was acquainted with him. And he was a pastor. And one day in a sermon, he said that we all have demons. We all have demons. They're bad attitudes. They're bad attitudes. That's what demons are, bad attitudes. Or, of course, it's become so terribly commonplace that the terminology that's used about, oh, about his inner demons, about his this, that, and the other thing, about struggling with these, and referring to, using poetic license to refer to something other than demons, you know, which has the effect of making away with the truth, the reality that is spoken of. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself so that all who believed on him and received him as their Savior, as their Lord, as their God, as their master, should inherit eternal life. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He drove back the powers of darkness. He spoke the word of God, the truth of God, without whom there is no truth, without whom there is no light and no love, no righteousness, no justice. He worked the works and fulfilled all that he was sent to do. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Delivered to the Jews. Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. Again, the Jews that the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to are the same Jews that Pontius Pilate is referring to, and that is the Jewish hierarchy. The Jewish leaders, the Jewish rulers. The inner circle, the high and mighty. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He does not deny that he is a king. As in point of fact, he is king of the Jews and king of the Gentiles, king of kings, lord of lords. But his kingdom was not from hence. His kingdom is drawing very, very near. Drawing nigh, it is coming soon. But things will continue to deteriorate and darken on this earth, around this world, until the return of the Lord. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. There are so many ministers, pastors, evangelists, televangelists, priests, theologians, and so forth, and missionaries. So many amongst these groups and others who are not zealous for the truth, not truly zealous for the truth. They may indeed be zealous for the truth like these Pharisees and Sadducees and that archbishop whom I mentioned previously, but not for the truth. That's not to say that none are. Absolutely not. Not to say that. But there are so many that are not, and who believe in watering down the Word of God, watering down the gospel, diluting the gospel to the point where it is unrecognizable from the truth. Making it something that has no relation to the truth. Sometimes the lies are small ones. Death by a thousand paper cuts. Other times, the lies are enormous, as was the case with that aforementioned archbishop. But they are all intended for the same thing. Sometimes the offenders are corrupt, not hell-bent on the destruction of the gospel. But they are in the ministry as a career. A career path. For this reason and that reason and the other reason. Sometimes, many times, the lies are crafted not by those who are delivering them, not by those who are sharing them, espousing them, but by higher-ups. Exceedingly loathsome creatures in higher positions. Sometimes these lies are crafted by councils, religious councils, denominational councils, the Vatican, the papacy, what have you. And of course, jewry. But so very often, the word of God is violated and defiled and desecrated. And that is why there is this great irony that oftentimes in third world nations, when communist regimes and such, that where the word of God has been planted faithfully by missionaries from abroad or by national missionaries, more often than not, planted by missionaries from abroad, such as the Apostle Thomas to India, to what is now known as Kerala, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, that state in India, where Thomas was martyred. And all of this time later, 2 millennia later, there are national missionaries that take the word of God. And so often, the gospel, whether it's in this part of India or that part, whether it's in communist China, or Vietnam, or Laos, or Burma, Myanmar, or throughout Central Asia and the Middle East and Africa. So many times, the gospel, or in, I should include South America, so many times, the gospel that is preached and taught by comparatively unsophisticated ministers is purer, truer, more faithful to the Word of God than that which the sophisticated churches in the United States of America and other Western nations believe should be provided. Too often, the simple, genuine, truth and faith is then undermined by sophisticated, learned Westerners. It's a great irony. But the Lord Jesus Christ, again, he is the way, the truth, and the life. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Yes, and Barabbas was a murderer and a leader of murderous insurrection and rebellion. Now Pontius Pilate, he's the governor there. He doesn't have to do the bidding of the Jewish hierarchy, the Jewish leaders. All he had to say was that he's releasing Jesus. Period. I find him innocent of your fraudulent charges. But no, Pilate had to do a favor for these wicked Jews whom he knew were falsely charging Jesus and trying to put a righteous man, which is all he recognized him as, a righteous man to death, to have Pilate do the bidding for them, have Pilate and the Romans murder this man. And Pilate releases a murderer, a ringleader of murderers, and has Jesus torturously executed. That was not exactly passing the test for Pilate, but for people who put their trust in governments, in political leaders, this is a cautionary tale. We should put our trust in God, in Christ. Jesus came not only to lay down his life, so that all who chose to believe on him, receive him as their Savior, Lord, and God, would inherit eternal life, would be saved from eternal damnation. But he came to witness to the truth. And throughout all of his ministry of 3.5 or so years, he preached the truth. He taught the truth. He witnessed to the truth. He lived the truth. He was the truth. He is the truth. And we can believe all that Christ said and all he said concerning what will be. I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Lord God Almighty, lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth. Heavenly Father, Holy God, blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.